This morning, as everybody was coming in and worship was beginning, just before, we were talking about just some of the band members here, like, wait, not a lot of people in here. And I go, well, he goes, that's okay. They know Pastor Joe's not here. So he goes, don't take it personal. I said, oh, I don't. That's okay. I just remember as a kid going to church and like when the youth pastor spoke, I was like, yeah, you know, it's not going to be really long. And that was some interesting stories. No. Anyways. So I wanted to start this morning. We're going to continue with our Fearfully and Wonderfully Made series. This will be the end of it. And then Pastor Joe will be back next week. And so we can return to your regularly scheduled program. But I was scrolling through Netflix, as many of you have Netflix, you know, streaming services or Amazon Prime or whatever. But I was scrolling through and we're looking for a show to watch and just kind of going through there. And I saw they had a new program offered. And it was actually not a new show, but an old show. And they're doing that, kind of bringing some of those older programs. Well, in this show, I remember vividly as a kid. This was a show that my family and I used to watch. I mean, after dinner, it was, you know, it came on when we had regular TV and with the antennas and all that kind of stuff. And it was called The Greatest American Hero. Now, anybody remember the show? Okay. So, yeah, it was kind of a staple across, you know, Greatest American Hero. Who doesn't want to watch that? And it was your typical, you know, superhero, crime fighter, you know, taking down mob kingpins and Russian agents and, you know, all of those things. And it was just, you know, a lot of fun. And it was super campy, just the way all those 80s shows were. But we loved it. It was great. And the show featured a mild-mannered alternative ed teacher, so I can relate with that, with my wife being an alternative ed. And, you know, had this rowdy bunch of kids. But the story goes where he kind of comes across or is gifted with a super suit, basically. And it has all kinds of abilities, the ability to fly and all kinds of other powers that are related with it. And on taking the suit home from his interaction with the aliens, he loses the instruction book. So he doesn't know how to work it. So he tries it out. And, you know, and of course, the first time he tries to fly, well, here, let me just show you. Go ahead, turn the lights on a little bit, too. Okay, just to give you a taste. So that's pretty much the show in a nutshell. As he uncovers different things of the suit, he can never really get the flying down, and he crashes into buildings and all kinds of bumps and bruises along the way. And so that's kind of just the fun part of the show. So I know you're thinking, Pastor Joe, better get back from vacation pretty soon. Or where might I be going? Well, I wanted to, this kind of got me thinking. I had seen this a couple of months ago, and we've been talking about how we as human beings are fearfully and wonderfully made, intricately, intimately, by our loving Father God, our Creator, and how He has designed us for all kinds, we're capable of all kinds of great things, and God's empowered us with His Holy Spirit, and all of this stuff, and we've looked at how like brain research is backing up what the Scripture says about how we can be changed and transformed and renewed by renewing our minds. In all of these awesome things, and I kind of likened it, I think, in the first message to almost like this vehicle that's taking us from this life into the next, that God's equipped us with all of these faculties and abilities, and in the midst of all of that, we have life happening, and it's like a vehicle. It's like, in a way, like a super suit. that we have been created in. And I know that, Ralph Hinckley here on the Greatest American Hero, our super suit, us, is probably underutilized at best. And we're probably missing some of the greatness that God has called us to, and there's a lot of reasons for that. We talked about that in the past weeks. But I want to look at four things that will help us to get off the ground with our lives in the Lord and our purpose for fulfilling God's purpose. Here's the other thing is we haven't lost the instruction book. We still have it. We have the instructions. We know what God's calling us to do. We just have to read them. I mean, and I was talking to Kim before, and I said, he lost the instruction book, because she's, of course, seen the show. She goes, well, yeah, but he's a guy, so we probably wouldn't read him anyway. Maybe after a few wall smashes, he might open the page. And sometimes that's the way with us, too, right? We kind of hit a few walls, and then we go, maybe I better see what God is telling me to do and change things in my life. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just flow through me. God, that you would speak your words, God, not my own. And Lord, that through your word, you would change us, help us to hide it in our heart that we wouldn't sin against you. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So thinking about this, these things that, he endeavored to do good with this super suit. He did a lot of good tries, and he did. Of course, the episodes always work out, and they catch the bad guys, and, for bumps and bruises, but it all works out. And in the same way, God has created us to do good works. His word in Ephesians 2:8 says this, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The scripture is really clear that this is by grace. This is unmerited favor. It's not anything that we earned or were good enough, and God said, oh, yeah, Sam is so good, I'm just going to give him my grace and salvation. No, that's not it. It's an unwarranted that God gives us his grace, and it's in with faith in Jesus that we are saved. That's where it all starts, and we've talked about this before. We don't have, we have been created for this purpose, but if we don't realize and come to the understanding that Jesus wants a relationship with us, a relationship that was broken, that was marred, that initial creation, we're not going to get very far. We can go on our own for quite a ways, and it may seem like we're successful in life, but in reality, we're missing it. We're going without the instructions. We're smashing into walls all the time. We don't really accomplish what God's calling us to do. And it's the things that, the works that we're called to do are a byproduct of the relationship we have with Jesus. It's not that we do works because that's what gets us to heaven. No, it doesn't. You can do all the works in the world and your bridge will still be too short. You won't make it because you need Jesus to fill that gap. He's the one who paid the debt that we owed. And so with that, we're created to do good works. And it can take a lot of different forms. I mean, ultimately, everything that we do is for the glory of God. It should be. Everything. As I was thinking about this message and preparing, I was thinking about, well, what are good works? I mean, there's a list of things. You probably go, well, I go to church, I pray, I do this, I do that, right? Well, I think there's so much more than that. We can be attentive to those needs around us, we can be compassionate. And really, we need to become more like Jesus. That is what's going to accomplish those good works. So along with that, we're created to give God glory in every part of our life. One of the aspects of owning a supersuit is trying to balance your superhero life with your normal life, right? You got to keep your identity secret, all that kind of stuff. Well, it's not that way with us. But yet we tend to compartmentalize our super suit life, our Christian life, and the other things that we do. I do it. Like the things I do for God, the things I do at church or for the Lord, and the things that are due for me or others, right? We kind of put those in two separate buckets. But really, everything that we do, there is no day job. Everything we do is to give God glory in every part of our life. It's a 24/7 thing. Isaiah 43:6 says this, "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." When God created us, it was for his glory. Not for us, not about the supersuit, not how great we are, but it's about him. It's about giving him glory in everything that we do. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it said, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Jesus gave God glory in everything that he did. It was reflected in every aspect, every person he came in contact with, every person who was sick or in need or just hurting, he had compassion on them. Jesus modeled the life that we're supposed to live. He's the picture that we're supposed to imitate him. We're supposed to let his spirit flow through us and imitate that life, to live that life before others so that we would give him glory. I mean, everything he did, whether he was, you know, ministering, praying for people, healing someone of blindness, or he was hanging out with the disciples laughing about something silly that happened, because he did. He was human just like us, but yet 100% God. And so in the midst of all of that, I think in our life, you know, we have to do the same thing. Everything that we do should be about glorifying God. Everything I do, whether I'm working, whether I'm preaching, whether I'm hanging out with friends, whether I'm out fishing or whatever, it should be glorifying God, right? I mean, in the scripture in Colossians 3:23, I picked this picture specifically, of course. Yes. Everything we do, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. In everything that we do, sometimes we go to our jobs and we're like, oh, I hate that job, right? And it shows because of the way we treat it, the way we act, the way we do it. Maybe you said that even. You've come home from work, it's been a terrible day, and you just, and if you were to look at your performance at work and your attitude and your demeanor, it probably wasn't very Christ-like. It probably wasn't working as unto the Lord, right? And some things are unpleasant that we go through. But in the midst of all of it, we say, God, help me to have the mind of Christ, to go through this thing and have your heart and your spirit and to show forth Jesus in the midst of it. And he'll do that. He'll do that. And I know that some of us, you know, don't have the dream job or the dream situation going on in your life. But in the midst of all of it, we're to honor God, to glorify God. And that's asking for his help. I know sometimes it might be just sitting in your car before you go into work and saying, God, help me today to have your heart and your spirit and to see the people around me with your eyes. Because that's what they're looking at. They're looking at you, and they know, you know, you may not have like came in with the I Love Jesus hat or whatever, but, you know, they know that you go to church because somehow they found out in your conversation, they've seen your Facebook, whatever it might be. They know you're the Christian, and you're supposed to just exhibit Christ and his love. I've kind of come across this saying, and it kind of embodied this a little bit. And it's one of those where we probably have said it ourselves. Maybe you're doing something, a job, or you're working on something, and you hear that, you get it done, and you're like, here's the saying, good enough for who it's for. You ever heard that? Ever said that? Okay. And I know, don't get me wrong, if you said this in my presence, I'm not picking on you. It's definitely not you. It's somebody else. And it's the whole, but I understand the sentiment is kind of non-serious and all of that. But I was actually, one time we were at a church thing, and we were setting up something, and they're like, good enough who it's for. And I'm like, you do realize it's for Jesus, right? Kind of the idea. And then in the sense that everything that we do is for Jesus. It's for his glory. So I kind of push back on that statement a little bit nowadays, because the scripture says, whatever we do, work at it with all our heart as serving the Lord and giving him glory. You know, that's one of the things that you have to look at your own life and say, where am I showing Jesus? Where is Jesus maybe not shining through? You know, I've kind of pushed back on what God wants to do and showing his glory to those around, those people that I hang around with, that I work with, you know, my family. Maybe I'm just a real jerk to them. And wow, yeah, right? Because I know I have been. There's been times, and we have to push back on that and say, God, work through me. You know, let your power show. We sang your presence, your power. We want more of your presence. We want more of your power to show in our lives. God's glory. That's what he's called us to do. You know, another way that God receives glory in our lives is through adversity and trials. It allows his power to flow through us. In 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7, it says, "For God who said," we already covered this, but I'm going to go a little further. "For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." You know, for as wonderful as our physical bodies are, in a lot of ways, they're quite frail. The scripture describes it as having this treasure, our life, Jesus, in jars of clay, earthen vessels. I feel that when God shows the base material that he created us out of, it's not Play-Doh, by the way, but it's, remember, dust of the earth from Genesis 2:7? That's what he created us from, the dust of the earth. I think that God knew if he made us out of something stronger, rock or steel or some metal or something, we would begin to see the great ability of God working in and through us and begin to think it's us. It's the supersuit, not the one who gave us the ability. I think that's why God allows it. Otherwise, we begin to attribute that power at work within us to being our own. I mean, it's ours in Christ, but it's not from us. It's from him. Again, giving that glory back to God. It's all about reflecting his image to the world around us. You know, we went through, Kim and I, you know, kind of, there's markers in our life, different milestones that you kind of can pin, different events, things that happen. And for us, one of the biggest things we went through was a flood that basically took our house and destroyed it. And I mean, it was still standing, but it was, you know, ruined and needed major rebuilding or tear down or something. And that was a pretty trying time because, you know, we owed money on the house, a lot of money on the house. We had, you know, the mortgage, all those things. And here this house was devalued and our insurance was very minimal because of our, you know, there's a bunch of factors in that because of our township and the way that federal flood funding goes and all that. And we were pretty dire straits. If we didn't get this fixed, we were just going to be stuck. And, you know, we prayed and we said, "God, you got to work it through us, trusting you to take us through this. Those waters won't overwhelm you." God, it was scriptures that, you know, talk about waters and flood. I kind of relate with a lot. But he did. His grace came in such a way. And it wasn't about us. Kim and I are just, we're just human, just like you. But God's power was working in us and through us and gave us that grace that sustained us. Because we even heard it from, and I know this is, you know, only God's glory, to God's glory, not ours. Because neighbors and news reporters and things were like, "How come you're not like freaking out like your neighbors are?" Some of my neighbors were like, you know, going to bar the government from coming in and get guns. And I was like, just chill out, you know. They're like, "You're not doing all that." I'm like, "It's just God's grace." And that's all I could say every time. It's God's grace. Because reflecting it to him, it's not about us. He enables us to do awesome things. But it's about turning that back to God and giving him grace. And I think it's not, the language that's used here is not light. You know, it's a struck down, but not destroyed. You know, all these very, it's not like, oh, somebody, you had a bad hair day. I mean, these are like heavy duty things. This is in the time when the gospel was being spread throughout the land and people were trying to shut it down. They were persecuted. People were trying to kill them and eventually did, some of them. But it goes through this whole scenario. This is, you know, we have this grace from God that carries us through, and we have this treasure in these fragile jars of clay, yet still super and amazing. But it's because of God's power in us, his all-surpassing power. And as we were singing this morning, I said about, you know, we want more of your presence, we want more of your power. You realize that when we sing that, in order for more presence and power to be displayed through our life, sometimes that means more adversity, more trial. Now, sing it next time. Do sing it. Don't be like, "I'm going to hold off on that verse." Because God works. He gives you the grace you need in that situation. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, "All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to God, to the glory of God." You know, it's for your benefit. Now, there's other scripture, and I didn't pull these in this morning, that talks about, you know, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. You know, to rejoice when those things happen. Wow. I don't know. I can't do that sometimes because they're hard things. They're terribly hard things. But one of the results of allowing God's grace to carry us through these trials is that other people see God's power at work within us. And Scripture says it causes thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. It's the result. And that's what we're here for, right? I mean, because if God just gave us these amazing bodies and this life and the ability to know Him, and once we come to know Him, our mission is complete and He can just take us to heaven, right? But no, we've got a purpose here on earth. It's to do good works. It's to shine His light, to reflect God's glory throughout every person we come in contact with. Every situation should be filled with God's grace and His glory. Verse 16 through 18, and these are hard verses, I'll admit this. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, it says we do not lose heart. Outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly being renewed day by day. Now, I'm quite certain that many of us in this room have felt like we've been wasting away outwardly and inwardly, that we're, wasting away both inside and out. We're losing heart in situations. We've probably been there. But yet God's promise is that by having this treasure, or Jesus, inside of us, that we're able to be renewed day by day. It's each day. It's not week at a time. It's not for this whole situation. It's day by day. God wants us to walk through this, the things that we're going through each day, one at a time. And to seek first His kingdom and all His righteousness, all this other stuff will be added unto us as we go forward day by day. Renewed day by day. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on the wings like eagles, and they'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. Verse 17 says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, I know that I cannot say to my friends who have just lost their job, or who have been given the information that the cancer is back, or have lost a loved one who's dear to them, oh, those are light and momentary, right? Because in our perspective, they aren't. They are very real. They are overwhelmingly burdensome. But what we're not seeing is that God, to Him, in the light of eternity, it is very momentary. It's a short blip on all of eternity. That doesn't make it any less for us, okay? Don't get me wrong. But in the perspective that God has, He sees it all. In fact, He even directs us to look at the not what is seen, because we're in the midst of the situation. We see it all that's happening around us and to us, right? He says, but not what's seen, but what is unseen and eternal. In other words, we need to trust God that He knows what He's doing. And He is trustworthy. We can trust God in the midst of hard times, in the midst when we feel like that earthen vessel, that clay pot that is us, is about to break. And say, God, I need Your strength. I need Your grace. And trust Him. I look at the outside and everything seems to be falling apart. I look at the situation and I think this is the end of everything. But yet in God's economy, in God's perspective, He sees everything has a purpose. It's to give Him glory. It's good works. And like I said, we don't always understand that the things that we do have huge meaning. Just saying hi to somebody or shaking their hand or just listening. Nobody listens to me and you listened. That's huge. You're like, well, that was nothing. It took me 2 minutes. Or, you know, I helped somebody change a tire. Whatever. I didn't know there were people who didn't know how to change a tire. Well, I'm married to one. But, you know, but just simple things like that that God uses. And in the midst of that's the day ruiner right there. That's going to just, but you know what? We can be there. We can come alongside through some of these harder things as well. And we're doing that. God is using all of us together to give him glory. And it's for our benefit as well. The last thing that I want to focus on today, and this is just, we need to understand that although we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that these bodies are only temporary. They're just part-time in the light of eternity. The scripture talks about this earthly body as a tent or being kind of clothed in mortality. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened. But when we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us his spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come." You know, a tent is a temporary dwelling. It's not where you like to live the rest of your days, unless you're really into camping. But, you know, this is probably not where you'd like to spend, because there's bugs and it's, you know, not nice. We like houses, walls, roofs, something that's secure and solid, right? That's what he's saying in the scriptures. Like, this is just a temporary thing. We're looking forward to this awesome inheritance that you know, if he goes to prepare a place for us, there's many rooms, there's many mansions in my Father's house, and we have that promise. So while we're here, we're going through all this stuff, we're experiencing hardship, we're letting God exhibit and show his grace and his glory in our life, but we have a promise of something better. If we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he's called us his own, and we've responded to that, we have an inheritance in heaven. And it says he's given us his spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come. I know that when God, I sense that sometimes God is working in and through us. When they're going through hard times, I can just sense a tangible sense of his presence. I can feel it. That's just God being with us in the midst of our situation. I want to read the Message version of that same scripture, because I know the Message version, of course, is just more of a common day language kind of thing, but it's puts it in a little bit different perspective as well. It says, "For instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they'll be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven, God-made, not handmade, and we'll never have to relocate our tents again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move, and so we cry out in frustration. Compared to what's coming, living conditions around here seem like a stopover in an unfurnished shack, and we're tired of it. We've been given a glimpse of the real thing, our true home, our resurrection bodies. The Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little bit of heaven in our hearts, so we'll never settle for less." I like that idea, that this is, the things that we go through, as amazing as God has made us, this is just temporary. And it's always, I believe, to focus our hearts, as God says, to focus on what is, not what is seen, but what is unseen. The future that we have, the future for our friends, for our family, that they have an inheritance with Christ in heaven, and that we can be a part of showing God's glory in the midst of hard situations, in the midst of impossible situations. God will always come through. His plan is always, it's yes and amen, every promise in the Word. God is going to work in us and for his glory. There's a quote by David Wilkerson that I wanted to just share, and this says this. It says, "If I am not Christ-like at heart, if I'm not becoming noticeably more like him, then I've totally missed God's purpose for my life. It doesn't matter what I accomplish for his kingdom. If I miss this one purpose, I have lived, preached, and yes, striven in vain." And I think that encapsulates the whole of what I wanted to share today, is that as we go through life, fearfully and wonderfully made, created for God's glory, for his purpose, and he reveals that to us through his word, through his instruction book to us that we have ready access to. We have no excuse, people. We have no excuse because we have, right in your pocket, you've got a phone that has access to the internet, to a Bible. You've got paper Bibles galore. Some of you have more Bibles at home than you know what to do with. We have the word of God. We have the instruction books to tell us how to live this life, to tell us how to utilize everything that God has given us. Because remember, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. By his own glory, he's given us his very great and precious promises that through them we can participate in the divine nature, right? We have it all. So why aren't we experiencing it? Why do we keep, you know, missing the mark? It's our focus is off. If I'm not Christ-like at heart, that should be my main goal. It's not about how many things I can do for God. It's not about how many church services I can attend or how much I can give to missions. It's about how close is my heart to Jesus. because the closer I am to Jesus, the more I will be like him. It's true in our natural life. The people you hang around with, you become like them. You talk like them. You dress like them. Even though, young people, I know you're all individuals, but you all dress alike. we become close to Jesus. We become more like him. We'll respond from his heart, his mind. We have the mind of Christ. He's created us to do that, to give him glory, to withstand amazing, incredible, terrible things in our life, but it's all his power that works in us. I want to have the worship team come as we just close here.